Hi, I'm Josh Morris, and I'd like to invite you to join me and my psychedelic sidekick, Dr. Gonzo, on a musical exploration here on And This One's Introduced By on Community Radio Station 3CR.
Hi, I'm Dr. Gonzo, and this one's Introduced By is a 60-minute program where we listen to tracks from an album introduced by the artist who made the album. Thanks for listening, and this one's Introduced By The Electorate are a three-piece indie pop band hailing from Sydney, comprising Nick Kennedy, Elliot Fish, and Josh Morris. The trio originally performed together under the name The Temple Bears before evolving into their current incarnation as The Electorate. What sets the band apart is their distinctive approach to songwriting. Rather than arriving at rehearsals with fully formed tracks, The Electorate embrace the spontaneity and creative energy of improvisation, allowing songs to emerge organically during jam sessions. This method lends their music a raw authenticity and dynamic interplay that's hard to replicate. Critics have drawn comparisons between The Electorate and acclaimed acts such as Wilco, XTC, The Fauves, and The Verlaines, citing both their melodic sensibility and thoughtful lyricism as standout qualities. Their growing catalogue of releases showcases the band's versatility, craftsmanship, and emotional depth. Their most recent album, By Design, was recorded and produced by the band themselves, with invaluable input from legendary Australian producer Wayne Connolly, known for his work with a wide range of iconic acts. The result is a polished yet intimate record that captures the band's evolution and artistic vision. Josh Morris joins Dr. Gonzo to introduce the tracks from By Design by The Electorate on And This One's Introduced By on Community Radio 3CR.
My name is Josh and I play in a band called The Electorate. And The Electorate is a funny story insofar as we are a theoretically new band made up of old friends. And our story goes back to the 1990s when we played together in Sydney as a band called The Temple Bears. And when we split up, we broke off into two different Atkinson-related camps. Nick and Elliot went off to join Greg and Carolyn in Big Heavy Stuff. And I played in a band called Atticus with Greg's brother Darren and a couple of other mates. And we all did our things separately in, you know, those bands for a while. And then about 10 years ago, we got back together again under our old name, which is The Temple Bears, for a little bit. And we kind of set about recording an album that we thought would kind of just put a bit of a full stop at the end of The Temple Bears. And unbeknownst to us, towards the end of making that record, which came out in, you know, COVID land of 2020, we discovered that actually what felt like something old wasn't old anymore, and it actually felt like something new. So we changed the name of the band to The Electorate, and we released the album, I think, in September of 2020, and it was called You Don't Have Time to Stay Lost. And, you know, that was kind of referencing how long it took us to get around to doing our thing. But at the end of that record, we realized that, you know, what was recorded as sort of a debt to our past had now become a recalibration of our present, I guess. And so we set off to make another record, and that is the album By Design, and that came out in May, end of May in 2025, so earlier this year. It's an album that we've worked really, really hard on. Means a lot to us. It's got a different playlist if you play it, you know, digitally through streaming services or off of a CD than it does off of the vinyl. So I'm just going to kind of spit out random titles and talk about random tracks, I guess. Sort of my reflections on what those tracks mean to me, kind of as one third of the band, as the sort of author of some of the songs, but the, you know, participant in writing them or the witness to them being written in others. The two other guys that I play with are Nick Kennedy on drums and vocals and Elliot Fish on bass and vocals. And Elliot also plays guitar on a couple of the tunes as well. And I play bass on a couple of those tunes. Otherwise, I play guitar and I sing. That's kind of the overview of the band. By Design started being recorded at Golden Retriever Studios in Marrickville in Sydney. And we had a little trip up to the Central Coast where we recorded with a guy called Steve Cool. And he very kindly donated us some time and some studio time and some engineering time. And so that was the sort of, you know, the halfway point. And then we decamped to Hercules Street Studios in Surry Hills to work with Wayne Connolly. Now, we'd kicked off the album with a guy called Simon Berkelman, who was in a band called Philadelphia Grand Jury back in the day and has recorded lots of great artists. For some reason, we needed to kind of change gear. And so when we did the thing with Steve, that was sort of a bit of a reset. And then when it became clear that we weren't going to be able to finish the album with Simon, we reached out to Wayne Connolly. Now, Nick has played with Wayne in a band called Knievel for a long time, going back to the 1990s as well. So those two get along really well. There's that camaraderie that you have when you're bandmates for a really long period of time. But also Nick and Elliot had recorded with Wayne for Big Heavy Stuff. And so it just felt like a really natural thing to do. And it was. It was a, you know, a really amazing experience. So yeah, album in three parts. We'll get into those parts now. The album recording started, like I said, with Simon Berkelman in at Golden Retriever Studios, and we recorded five songs. And the first of those songs that I remember we started off with was kind of atypical for us. It was pretty straight and pretty kind of sing-song. And it's a song called Summer of Cicadas. Now, Summer of Cicadas is kind of a bit of a Dear John letter to Sydney, despite the fact that two out of three of us still live here. And it's one of those sort of reflections on a city that is very full but very empty in a lot of ways. And those of you that have lived in Sydney will kind of know that it's got a, you know, a difference for shiny things and the beauty of the harbour and the beauty of the place, but somehow kind of undermined by what sometimes feels like is a city that doesn't really value culture in the way that I know Melbourne does and I know other parts of the country do too. But maybe that's just the subjective grass is always greener kind of aspect. But yeah, we started the recording with Summer of Cicadas. We tracked it live. I think we had my amps in the room, which we worked out very quickly wasn't going to be the sound that we wanted, but it was a good jump-off point and a song that kind of built itself up from a bit of a Stereo Lab meets Go-Betweens kind of groove and a guitar solo that I labored over for probably about half an hour until Nick said over the playback, just play it simple. And when he did, something clicked eventually, took him a couple of times. And eventually I kind of just went, yeah, okay, yep, it is a really simple thing to play and it's one of my favorite moments on the record. We recorded it on the day that Queen Elizabeth was interned, which felt kind of weird given that we were singing about not only the nature of Sydney, but the colonial nature of the country and the fact that we seem to conveniently forget the long legacy and deep history of those that the First Nations people who were here long before the British invaded. So that's all wrapped up in the song Summer of Cicadas, and I hope you enjoy it.
Summer of Cicadas, the peal of double drummers, master ringing in my ears. The city lost its shine, or maybe I lost mine. Maybe it was both of those. The light that shines on the harbor blinds all who look, but no one cares. The fog was on the river, an early autumn shiver, as the cockatoo split the sky. Catch a train into the city, the empty shop so pretty. Is it wrong that I don't want it back? The light that shines on the
down. The next song that we recorded is Don't Go Out, and it's an old song that kind of predates the rebirth of the band. Was written in a share house probably back in, well, yeah, back in the 90s, at a time where I was understanding that perhaps my anxiety was preventing me from going out and being a little bit more social than perhaps I had been previously. And I'm not, you know, a person that suffers from, you know, diagnosed anxiety per se. It's more just that, you know, I'm not the most social of creatures sometimes. And this song was kind of leaning into that narrative and making it a bit more paranoid and a bit more spooked. And it was kind of the first new song that we looked to start making, I think, even possibly before we'd recorded the first record. And it felt like a really great spark back into being kind of energetic, frantic, slightly taut three-piece. And it was a great recording experience, a lot of fun. Borrowed a Red Jazz Master from Bruno Breivik of Peabody and Buddy Glass fame. Thanks, Bruno. And just had a great time. It's one of those ones that's, yeah, it's probably the most over-the-top vocal delivery of the whole LP, but it's got good eyebrows, as a friend of mine said, actor friend who does voiceover work and kind of likes to, you know, comment on character and how something comes across. And I think it's definitely one of those ones where the, you know, hopefully the character does feel a little bit fleshed out and you kind of get a bit of an insight into, you know, what was going on in my brain when it was written, but more importantly, the character's feeling as it's coming out. It's, we don't have a lot of character-driven stuff on our, in our writing, generally speaking. So when we do, it's kind of good fun to be able to let loose, let fly and go a little bit more berserk. Enjoy it and enjoy the Be My Baby end of the tune and all the chaos that it ensues.
Don't go. Don't go.
originally, when we used to bring songs in for each other, we'd kind of stick to the instrument that we were most familiar with. But when we did the first album, we changed that up where Elliot would play guitar. And in most ways, Elliot's a much better guitarist than I am. And it makes a lot of sense for him to just play the thing that he's written on the guitar when we are recording it, and ideally when we're playing it live as well. So this is one of those ones where I switch over to playing bass. It's a great, fun tune to play live, and one that went down really, really well in the studio. It's I'm not going to delve into the lyrical matter because I didn't write the lyrics, because Elliot did, and maybe he'll chip in on that. Maybe he won't. We'll see. Yeah, a great tune, and one of those ones where the end of the tune just sort of goes off into this great minimalist groove that we have started to really lock into and really love, actually. So yeah, I hope it's one of those ones that you can kick back and enjoy all the different elements that are at play in 10 times round. No Turning Back is one of those ones that had a few kind of different twists and turns as it was being written. And the core of the tune is this kind of Costello Attractions-esque dive into bitterness and recrimination, and it's part fact, part fiction, but it was just a fantastic, fun thing to record, and I feel like we nailed it. I feel like we recorded the backing live in three takes, which, you know, is not that remarkable probably, but felt really good. Each time it was sort of upping the ante from the time before, which kind of happens. There's a sweet spot, I think, before you kind of lose that energy and enthusiasm. And I'm pretty sure that when I did the vocal not long afterwards, that was all done in a single take, which for me is rare. It's much more labored usually, but it was one of those experiences where everything fell into place at the right time, and your voice wasn't shot and your brain was in gear and everything kind of worked. It's also the first tune that I think we had approached with Nick as a vocalist in mind as well. There's three-part harmonies at the end of the song that, to my mind, are the first time that we'd kind of intentionally gone in to a recording studio with those already set, and with Nick being a really important third voice, which throughout the record is a real enhancement and a real kind of secret weapon. And we were discussing this on the weekend. We spent the weekend writing together for hopefully the start of what will be the next record. And it was one of those things that we were able to reflect upon, and just how amazing it is to be able to incorporate three-part harmonies. It's a rare thing. It makes such a difference when we're playing it live. And yeah, a really, really, really enjoyable thing to be able to do. The middle eight of this song is kind of this Dead Man soundtrack-esque exploration of, you know, space, which kind of came to me away from, you know, any kind of musical environment. I think I was sitting at a table waiting for some food to take back to my kid, who was at something that I needed to go to, or something that I was picking them up from. And the lyric that Elliot sings, "I hope you like to be alone," kind of flashed into my brain and became this sort of mantra that we got Elliot to sing that sounds like it's a little bit underwater, but is a great thing. So yeah, hope you enjoy the tune. Listen out for that, and for Nick's awesome harmonies at the end of the tune. Cheers.
I thought I knew you. I thought you had my back. I guess I should have known you better than that. The time we had was, the time we had was grand. But now I salt
alone.
The opinions that you prosecute as facts have seen you fall. I see right through you till I can't see anything at all. I can't undo what I have done. I can't unsing what I have sung. I can't look you in the same way after I heard what you did say.
Hi folks, I'm Josh Morris from The Electorate, and you are listening to, and this one's introduced by, We're the Artist, that's me, introduces tracks from their album here on 3CR. Unfamiliar is a bit of a different one for us in a variety of different ways. First and foremost, it was written together, which we've done a few times on this record. It's one of three tunes that kind of fell in to the rehearsal space almost completely fully formed. It was written in the same rehearsal as the song End, which either starts or finishes the album, depending on which version of it you're listening to. And it was one of those things that became a great space for us to explore different methodologies, different ways of being able to write. The vocal melody was almost immediately in Elliot's ears and coming out his mouth, and we were very fortunate that we had a gentleman by the name of Steve Cool, who was kind enough to give us a day in the studio, and we walked away with the stems for that tune, and we then took it back to Simon Berkelman, who we'd been doing some of the recording and mixing with whilst in at Golden Retriever, and he helped with a couple of extra overdubs and then mixed it. And it's one of those things that is a really great headphone ride. There's a lot more buried in this tune than there is on a lot of the rest of the record. Most of the rest of the record is kind of, we tried to keep it as guitar, bass and drums and not too much extra stuff. But there's a lot of extra little glitchy noises and kind of atmospherics, which has definitely opened a door for us, I think. And when those tunes and those recordings happen to you, they kind of act as a little bit of a beacon to head in the direction of. And I don't know if that'll happen for the next bunch of tunes, but I kind of feel like it's definitely been a great blueprint. Once again, Elliot's lyrics, so I'm going to leave those ambiguously open for you, the listener. But I hope you enjoy this little sonic journey that is Unfamiliar.
Thank you.
I am coming from the Gadigal lands of the Eora Nation, where currently there seems to be an inordinate amount of airplane and or traffic noise, or the cat just outside the door having a good time with some piece of plastic. So anyway, apologies for any of those incidental blips along the way. Okay, so we're up to that point where we decamp from working with Simon and Steve, and we head into the studio with Wayne Connolly. And Wayne's done so many different great albums with so many different great artists over the years. It was, for me, just a tiny bit intimidating walking into a space to work with him. But thankfully, I was with bandmates who were really familiar with not only what a kind and laconic individual he is, but how freaking brilliant he is at getting great sounds and great performances from people. And I think Wayne's involvement probably heralds an era in my creative existence and the band's creative existence, I think, whereby we are able to work with people in a way that's so much more collaboratively than we probably previously would have been open to doing. Wayne's got a lot of great ideas, and I think they came to bear most predominantly on Peace, Love and Kindness, which was a tune that we had probably gone over and around and over and around and looped, so much so that it probably, I liken it to getting from A to B via every other letter in the alphabet and eventually just ending up kind of where you started, at least in terms of the musical direction and the, you know, kind of the melodic direction. Wayne had a kind of missing jigsaw puzzle piece for the chorus, which kind of hadn't clicked into place, and was also helpful in, you know, kind of trimming down some of the lyrics and adding a second guitar part as well. So kudos to you, Wayne. Peace, Love and Kindness is lyrically a plea for all of those things. I, like a lot of people, struggle in the current world climate with a lot of the hate and hostility that is happening. At the time that the lyrics were written, it was the Ukraine war was still in its relative infancy, and the aftermath of October 7 was starting to become very much apparent. And unfortunately, you know, a couple of years later, we're still at a point where we're dealing with the outcome from both those things, and the lyrics of the song were a definite attempt to just kind of say, this is awful. How does one remain optimistic and hopeful at this point in history? And it's easy to argue that things are a lot darker, and I think for a lot of people, things are a lot darker. I feel as though we are in a really fairly isolated spot where we are out here, but that feels remarkably safe at the moment, especially for folks that don't fit the very narrow definition of, you know, what quote-unquote normal is. Shout out to all our trans brothers and sisters the world over, but obviously in the US. That was very much also at the forefront of my mind when I was writing this song. It remains the way, it remains the case. Yeah, obviously it steals lyrical intent from Nick Lowe / Elvis Costello's version of What's So Funny About Peace, Love and Understanding, but hopefully it's brought a little bit more into the present and the universal sentiment remains and hopefully still rings true. Had an amazing time being able to film footage for this video clip at the 2025 Sydney Gay Lesbian Mardi Gras earlier in the year. I'm proud to march with community, and it's an amazingly unique place to be. Before the parade, it's this beautiful feeling of colour and kindness and amazement and wonder, and really is just a glimpse into what the world would be if people were a little bit more open and a little bit more kind and a little bit more tolerant. So without further ado, this is Peace, Love and Kindness.
I wanted to cry. Another election night, another shift to the right. Why do the sins of the past justify a new path to another blood bath? I know that's simplistic, naive, unrealistic, but let's just all stay here.
Face of a Giant is alongside End and Unfamiliar in that it is a tune that the three of us wrote in the rehearsal studio that dropped into the space almost kind of fully formed. And the riff that it starts with was a riff that Elliot and I just started playing almost at the same time and looked at each other and went, this is one of those things, isn't it, that we go, okay, this is unique, this is good, let's keep doing this. And as with Unfamiliar, it was a melody that dropped into Elliot's brain seemingly immediately as well, which is somewhat spooky and intimidating to watch, but also pretty bloody inspiring as well. So it's got some fairly esoteric explorations of the thin veil between one world and another, I think, in some ways in the lyrics. But once again, as they were written by Mr. Elliot Fish, I'm going to leave those in his court and ambiguously leave them open for interpretation. But it was a great one to record, once again, with Wayne Connolly. And it's us at our most post-punky, angular, exploratory, kind of space where it's somewhat cinematic and somewhat basic, but in a very enjoyable way. So yeah, here's Face of a Giant. Enjoy the ride.
I lie awake and wait for her, a ghost to hold my hand and say it's fine. Connected to the one, the two, beyond the veil, a kiss along the spine.
The last tune that I think we wrote to bring in, and it was still kind of working itself out when we started recording it. Me as the somewhat inexperienced bass player took a few goes to remember what it was that I had stumbled onto in the rehearsals prior to it being recorded. But it was definitely one of those ones where we'd come at it from a familiar kind of space insofar as referencing other bands that we have loved for a really long time and still continue to love for a really long time. And I'll kind of leave it a little bit open there because I think that you're all going to hear different things and you're all right in hearing whatever it is that you're hearing. There's nothing specific that needs to be hammered through. But yeah, a great, great time recording this as well. A killer guitar solo that I can't play, but Elliot, who did play it, can play it exceedingly well. Some of Wayne's pedals and guitars, I think, made it onto this one as well in terms of being able to have that choppy tremolo at the start, and just a killer tune with some great moments throughout. So yeah, hop in and go sleeping on the job.
Catch you.
The Great Divide is one of those weird experiences, and I've made reference to this a couple of times with the songs that we've written to collectively, where something kind of arrives almost fully formed. The Great Divide was one of those ones that kind of anticipated something, which sounds weird to talk about, but sometimes I think when you're playing the guitar and you're kind of mumbling around looking for the thing that you think you're looking for, sometimes that's sort of preempting something that's going to happen outside of that little moment. And it sounds a bit strange to talk about it, but that feels like that's what happened with The Great Divide, where it was almost like a musical echo of what was to come in terms of some emotional turmoil that needed to be resolved and has been resolved via a fairly long period of understanding and evolution and introspection and going down so you can go back up again, I guess. This was one of those ones that the guys were really kind about almost instantaneously, and that was really encouraging, because sometimes when you bring something in, especially something where you're kind of bearing your bones, it's it can feel pretty confronting in a way. So it was nice to have the encouragement early on, and this is one of those songs that a lot of people have expressed a lot of love for, and that's always lovely to hear. So once again, recorded by Wayne, and this was one of those ones where we threw a lot of extra stuff into this that didn't make it to the final mix, which I'm very glad about, kind of just because I think with a lot of this record, I felt compelled to leave no stone unturned, which just means that you might go down a whole bunch of roads that turn out to be dead ends, but at least you're certain that they are and that you've explored that, and there was something really enjoyable about that process. So there is no banjo that you'll hear, there is no keyboard that you'll hear, but there are the three of us and three-part harmonies and Nick's great soaring down in splendor, vocal right at the end, harmony right at the end, and Elliot's insanely good harmonies all the way through, and just a song that we worked to keep as simple as possible, and a song that means a lot to us. So here's The Great Divide.
We were lovers, we were mates, dancing on tectonic plates. When they shifted and we fell straight past hell into the great divide between what I feel inside and what I'll say when you ask if I'm okay. There was flint and there was fire, sift through ashes of desire, smothered by a lack of care. Didn't want to bridge the great divide between what I feel inside and what I'll say. I can find a way. fear and honesty collide to the sound of bye-bye pride. I am going to bridge the great divide between what I feel inside and what I'll say.
One of those tunes that we wrote together in the rehearsal space. It started off as this jam, this infectious jam that we just kept on and just put smiles on our faces, and just was one of those things that was this insanely cool groove that we locked onto and enjoyed. And it was one of those things that I walked away from, because we inevitably record most of our rehearsals, or at least most of the jams that we're having when we are rehearsing. And it was one of those ones where I had a vague idea for the verse melody, but it wasn't until a couple of months later that the chorus idea kind of came through. And it was one of those ones where you go, oh yeah, okay, great, this is good. And we don't have a long history of being able to just repeat something over and over and over again. So that's why we lent into that here. And the guitar, you know, the guitar work was so much fun to do. And Wayne Connolly, being a guitarist himself, was very astute and very able to just let me roam in this particular instance, and to have the insight to be able to start one solo and then bring in another, which is something that I never would have done, and just being able to go, that's great, to let the chaos reign. And if you have a record player and it doesn't automatically take the needle off the groove at the end of the record, then you will be subjected to an endless groove of this tune as it runs out. The lyrics are a celebration of our friendship and our musical journey, which feels like a nice thing to be able to celebrate and commit to, but also just sort of one of those meditations about getting older and going, right, okay, these are unique times and unique moments, and you never know when you'll be breathing a last gasp, and hopefully that's a long way away. But in the event that it's not, it's nice to celebrate what means something to you and that which you value. And to me, that's the people, the family that I have, and the friends that I play in a band with, and the people that I work with, and the friends that I have outside of the band, but especially the people that I love and live with, and my bandmates. So thank you, listeners, for this indulgence, and take care of yourselves. Bye now.
says haunted and hunting down time. That is how it goes, my friend. Everything has got an end. Three friends align, slicing up time, slammed into zeros and ones. So many years flow under our skin, brothers and sisters begin. Is how it goes, my friend. Everything has got an end. That is how it goes, my friend. Everything has got an end.
Thanks for listening to an episode of And This One's Introduced By. I'm Dr. Gonzo, and I'll be presenting another artist with another album next time on This One's Introduced By. Catch you next time.
Hi, I'm Josh from The Electorate. Please support Community Radio 3CR. Get involved and find out more on the website at 3cr.org.au. Cheers.
Thank you, Joshua Morris, for expressing your thoughts so well about the songs from the album by The Electorate, titled By Design. And thanks for listening, and don't forget to find time to investigate The Electorate's Bandcamp page, where you can hear and download more music by The Electorate. This is a song about Gaza by Les Thomas. Good night from Dr. Gonzo. Hope to have your company next time on And This One's Introduced By, here on 3CR. This is The Firing Line.
Out there on the firing line, see the faces left behind. Hiroshima by the day, torn and scattered where they lay on the firing line. Never again is what they said. Now I wonder what they meant. Did they speak for all of us? Lives unequal, gold or dust on the firing line. Pressure cooker, open jail. Trigger fingers sure to fail. In the incubation room, born into a world of doom on the firing line. There's no reason, no excuse, and no accepting their abuse. No time for complicity, but they've every reason to be free on the firing line. Justice turns to you.
Turns to you.
What will you tell your own child? What's left of the meek and mild on the firing line? Don't be silent, please be brave. Still have so much to say.